Well, let's be honest. Pornography is a plague, and it's a plague in the church. How do you overcome it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are going to be giving you some very practical information, practical steps to take today to help deal with the plague of pornography, whether it's something you're dealing with in your own life or someone close to you is dealing with this. This is something we absolutely have to address. We're going to do it. We're going to be super practical. We've got a guest that's going to help us immensely as we step into this today. Michael Brown, welcome. Welcome to The Line of Fire. Before we get into that, you may have heard the disturbing news that a video has been released by the so-called Islamic State showing the decapitation, the beheading of another American reporter, Stephen Sotloff. They threatened to kill him if America didn't stop its bombing and actions, even though we've actually done very little. Since that time, we have not stepped things up to just try to wipe them out as much as possible. They have still, apparently, according to this video, retaliated. The gruesomeness of this, I haven't seen it, but just the gruesomeness of this, the gruesomeness of their actions, the absolute horror of their deeds is causing outrage around the world, so that you even have far left political leaders and intellectual leaders saying we've got to wipe them out. And I believe there must be strong military action against them, even though in certain places in the Middle East, the war in Syria is bad guys against bad guys, and sometimes very bad guys against very bad guys. And then you've got innocent Christians and other moderate Muslims caught in the middle of it. You've got all types of dynamics in Iraq as well. But what's clear is that this must be treated like cancer and attacked aggressively. And of course, we pray for mercy and consolation for this journalist's family if this report is true, and hope if they don't know the Lord that they'll turn to him and find comfort in his presence. On a totally lighter note, before we turn to the subject of pornography, and friends, when we talk about it, we get into the subject of pornography, you'll be shocked to hear some of the stats. I have an article, just wrote my newest article, Overcoming the Porn Plague. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on Latest Article. In that article, I give six practical steps to help overcome pornography. But on a different note than the horrible report from the Middle East, I had asked the question a couple days ago, how long will it be with the Michael Sam not making the roster with the St. Louis Rams before cries of homophobia arise? I got mocked for it, ridiculed for it, and some saying it's totally non-constructive why I even raised it. Well, I was pointing out things in our society, trends in our society, and that's why I raised it. Well, when he cleared waivers, people were saying, yeah, it's homophobic. And then when he didn't even get taken by a practice squad, yep, that's homophobic. And Michelangelo Signorelli, who is editor-at-large at HuffPost Gay Voices, posted an article today, Michael Sam and the NFL's Virulent Homophobia. Listen, again, we'll have a video up in my response to this from yesterday. We video recorded my response that I gave on the radio. But first thing, he brought the media attention to himself, and most of the teams don't want that extra attention, which is a distraction, especially for a player who came in the draft where he did. In addition, if he wanted to be out and proud, if it does make people uncomfortable in locker room situations and the testosterone-driven nature of the NFL, that's not homophobic, that's understandable. Anyway, as predicted, here come the attacks. We will be right back with Jeff Cologne from Pure Life Ministries. We'll talk about overcoming the pornography addiction.
want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we've always known, we've heard for years that pornography is rampant in the church. A recent poll was done by Proven Men Ministries together with the Barna Group. And what this poll indicated, it actually showed Christian men saying they use porn more than non-Christian men. Perhaps they were just more honest. But the poll stated that 7% of the men, Christian men, identified as Christians, viewed porn several times a day, 12% at least once daily, 18% several times a week, 15% several times a month, 12% at least once a month. Only 3% said they never view it. Only 25% say they view it less than a few times a year. My guest, Jeff Colon, is president and board director of Pure Life Ministries. Pure Life Ministries has been helping people deal with sexual sin for over 25 years. Jeff is a minister, ordained with the Assemblies of God, certified biblical counselor, author of From Ashes to Beauty. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast today.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. It's good to be here.
Could you tell me about Pure Life Ministries first and what your organization is involved with?
Sure. Like you said, we've been around for over 25 years. I've been here for a little over 20 years. I came through the program myself, being addicted to pornography and drugs over 20 years ago now. But we specifically minister to Christians dealing with sexual sin. And we do that really by leading them into a deeper life with God. We do it through a live-in facility that we have. We have up to 72 beds where we house men struggling from 7 to 9 months. We have a phone counseling program, which is a 12-week counseling program. We minister to men, to women, wives of men who are struggling with pornography, but also women that are struggling with sexual sin. We're seeing a lot more of that in recent years. We also have a website, purelifeministries.org. We have a lot of free resources. We have teaching materials and many books that have been authored by our founder, Steve Gallagher.
Yeah, and his book, At the Altar of Sexual Idolatry, has helped so many people over the years. Jeff, first question, is it really possible for someone to walk in sexual purity in this sex-crazed culture, especially with the unbelievable availability of unclean, defiling material on internet and all other social media today? Is it really possible to walk in purity?
Well, you know, I was just telling my staff this morning how important our testimonies here are.
Yes, sir.
And there's many out there, and the Word of God hasn't changed. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and there is absolutely no reason why we can't walk in sexual purity. The grace of God teaches us that in 2 Timothy. It's possible, and I know many people who were bound by sexual sin. I was one of them that lived victorious through the grace of God today. Yeah, absolutely, it's possible.
Right, and we need to proclaim that because sometimes people just think, well, I won't mess up as badly or I won't go as far. But number one, that just leaves one foot in the quicksand, so to say. And number two, it denies what God can really do in us. Why is pornography so powerful? Why are so many struggling with this today?
Well, you know, I was thinking about this earlier. Over 20 years ago when I was struggling, I had to find a TV somewhere in a hotel or maybe a magazine in a store. Believe it or not, the internet was just coming out.
Yeah, absolutely.
I didn't have a cell phone. Kind of makes me sound old, but it's just so available now. Just kids are getting into it at 10 years old on the internet. It's so pervasive in our society. And really, you can just turn on a TV now and view soft porn at night. So our society is so inundated now, and it is powerful because it's appealing to to something in every human being, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And, you know, the Bible tells us when we yield to that, we become a slave of it. And so many are becoming slaves because they're giving themselves to it in such a way that they are becoming enslaved by it.
Now, is aside from being so available, and just this morning, I was just take a quick glance through the junk folder on in my inbox, just to make sure that there's no one writing to me that I know that isn't somehow in my address book. So, you know, I scan it super quickly. Mm-hmm. But there's something, you know, do you want to connect or, you know, so whatever. I don't know what it was. It just got deleted immediately. But, you know, here's stuff you're not even asking for. I'll be going online to look at the news or something, and there's some sensual image you weren't asking for, you weren't looking for. But aside from it being so tremendously available, and aside from the lust of the flesh, how does this become so addictive? Why does it actually control people, where you'll have Christian men doing things that they're absolutely ashamed of, and yet they don't seem to know how to get free?
Well, like I said, it's like any other kind of sin or addiction. Usually it'll start with a choice. It becomes a habit, but then it leads to what the Bible calls slavery, mm-hmm. and it just totally controls your life. I mean, I remember living my life that way, and drugs was no different. Sin is sin, and when we give ourselves to it, we become a slave, and it will control us. And we typically think in the beginning, I'm controlling it. Oh, it's what's the big deal? You know, we indulge a little here or there. But eventually, we become enslaved, and we're actually given over. If it's continued without repentance, we are given over to a reprobate mind. And it really just then controls every aspect of our lives.
So when you hear these stats that I just mentioned, I'm sure you've had stats you've worked with as well. Does this surprise you at all, or is this what you and your ministry have known for many years?
No, I see this when I go out. I speak in a lot of churches around the country, and in the last 20 years, it's just exponentially gotten worse. I have guys coming up to me all the time after I speak, and typically it's 80 or 90% of the guys are struggling in some way.
Yeah, I mean, this is completely off the charts, unreal. Does this have an effect? And I'm asking some very obvious questions, but just some listeners aren't aware, and maybe some, thankfully, have not been touched by the pervasiveness of this battle. So forgive the obvious nature of these questions, but can porn addiction be separated from the rest of someone's life? Can this just be in a little closet in their lives and it really won't affect their walk with God or their marriage or the rest of their life? Is that possible?
Absolutely not. We have on our application process, we have the men rate themselves, a 1 being very carnal, a 10 being very godly. And it's interesting, just the deception of sin, how we can categorize it. You know, they'll have love for God, an 8, but then self-discipline, maybe a 1, you know, because obviously they have this little issue in their life. And somehow we categorize our sin. I remember doing the same thing because we go to church, we volunteer. You know, I played up in the worship team. And, you know, I basically was doing the Christian outward thing. I just had this little issue on the side, and I categorized it. But what I didn't realize was it was a sign that there was something very wrong.
Yep.
In the depths of my heart and really in the root of my faith.
Yeah. So when you talked about the addictions that were going on in your life, you were active in church at this time?
Oh, absolutely. I was involved in Teen Challenge. I was played on the worship team. I could quote scripture to you. I had a form of godliness, but again, I denied its power in my life.
Extraordinary. And what about the effect on marriages? Can this just be hidden indefinitely and the spouse will never see a difference in the partner?
No. You know, I was married at the time, and it terribly affected my marriage. That's what our book is partly about, our testimony, my wife and I. And you bring it into the bedroom, you view women differently, and obviously it's catering to the flesh, so you know, the root really of sexual sin is selfishness and everything focused around my pleasure. So you become pleasure oriented and it becomes all about you. And obviously you're not going to be able to love your wife and put her needs first. So it becomes all about satisfying my needs at her expense. So it's the exact opposite of loving your wife and laying your life down for her.
Extraordinary. Yeah, here's a note from the American Academy of Matrimonial Lawyers showing that more than 60% agreed that internet pornography was linked to higher rates of divorce. Of course, got to be. All right, listen, we've got a few more minutes with Jeff Colon. We're going to talk about some practical steps to take, but go to purelifeministries.org. Maybe you need to sign up for the counseling program by phone. Check out some of the books and materials. You may want to get one of their speakers in your church, purelifeministries.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. My guest, Jeff Colon, President, Board Director of Pure Life Ministries, devoted to helping people live in sexual purity. The website, purelifeministries.org. And Jeff's book is From Ashes to Beauty. Jeff, let's just say your average Joe, your average Jane sits down. Let's say you could spend a few minutes with that person and want to point them in the right direction. Obviously, there are tons of resources at purelifeministries.org. But for my listening audience, where does someone start? What practical steps would you give them, the very first things you would tell that person?
Well, first of all, we have to walk in the light. So we want to come into light. And God is merciful, and he exposes our sin for a reason because he loves us. And, you know, a Christian that thinks they can hide their sin will eventually discover God loves them too much to let them remain that way. So God will either intervene and expose them, but it's better if, you know, we see our need and we get it into the light and we confess it. And understand that, you know, God's grace is all about, when we come to our senses, finding that acceptance and forgiveness for sin. So they need to understand that, because a lot of times there's shame and we feel like I can't say anything. But they need to be encouraged to come into the light. And then, you know, learn what it means to live a life in the Spirit. The Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So they need to know, well, what does that look like? Well, it's very practical. It means cutting some things out of my life where I've been feeding the flesh, whether it's TV, internet, and getting into the Word of God, learning what it means to have a vital prayer life with the Lord, and just being immersed in the things of God every day. It's very, very important. Then learning really how to practically live that out, because just hearing only profits us nothing. We have to learn what it means to apply and really live out the Word of God in our lives. So it's practical, but it's also, you know, being willing to make some hard decisions in my life and cutting things out, but also adding in things of God, especially getting into the Word of God and prayer.
So really, despite the new high-tech onslaught, obviously internet can be used for good or for bad. But despite that, you're saying the same principles that would have worked for past generations will work for this generation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's what we get the men into here right away, is learning how to have a quiet time with the Lord, learning how to get into the Word of God. They need truth. They need light coming into their heart. And a lot of times it brings about the deeper brokenness that they need to experience. I mean, a true mourning over their sin, and then learning to submit themselves to God, and then making those tough decisions, and understanding really it's not about, you know, law and I got to do this and do that. It's about coming into a real relationship with the Lord, because ultimately it's going to be contentment in God and learning that he's what I need. He's the one I want to love and live for, And that's what's going to keep a man from sin, his relationship with the Lord.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that is so massively important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and
everything,
that's got to be cultivated.
Right, it's got to be cultivated. Everything flows out of that.
Right.
One last practical question. Some men may think, okay, if I come clean to my wife, then I'm going to have to change. And I know if I come clean that I won't be able to continue in this habit. But if I come clean to my wife, it'll devastate her. It'll crush her. It'll destroy the marriage. As a general rule, do you counsel people to come clean with spouse right up front, or do they need to get a pastor involved? Do you have a rule of thumb with that?
Yeah, the rule of thumb typically is get your pastor involved, and so that he can be there with you. Sometimes a wife's not ready for that, and sometimes he needs wisdom from his pastor. And it's always good to have the leadership of the church involved in that.
Right. Absolutely. Well, listen, Jeff, I appreciate the practical wisdom. I appreciate your testimony. As one set free from drugs 43 years ago, I know the power of God's deliverance, and I know that everything does flow out of relationship with Him. Keep up the great work. Please give our regards and appreciation to Steve, and thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Dr. Brown. It's good being with you.
All right, my guest, Jeff Colon, President and Board Director of Pure Life Ministries. Please go there, purelifeministries.org. You will find tremendously helpful resources, so we commend that to you. Mike in Brooklyn, welcome to the Line of Fire. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you? My name is Mike. I just want to add real quick that with the pornographic things, it's actually all over us, where it has not only consumed man, but it also has consumed women.
Yeah, it's true.
As you can see, the way women dress, especially when they go to church, and it's really a competition nowadays. And when you're married, I mean, a man will look that way because, you know, he is a man. Sometimes he wouldn't have a choice or what have you. It will be presented to him, and I think they should just change all that and have a dress code even in church, because there's too many women dressing too sexy in the churches, and it seems like a competition for their wives. You know what I'm saying?
It's such a strange thing, Mike. Obviously, as men, we're responsible for where our eyes go. We're responsible for where our minds go. At the same time, women are responsible, and if a woman's looking at the man, the same thing, be it the pressure of society, be it worldliness in the church. It's one thing if you have an unsafe person come in, and however they're dressed and all that, well, you deal with it. It's another thing when you have those who are supposed to be godly, who look seductive, and if a woman says, well, that's your problem, no, it's both problems, because there are very strong warnings in Scripture about not making ourselves stumbling blocks. So men need to be vigilant, women need to be modest, and we should be able to come together and worship without those distractions. Hey, Mike, thanks for the call. There is an attack on every side, and we need to recognize it. Again, go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article to read my practical points. I was praying and thinking about this and felt, here's the most practical thing I can get in your hands, all right? The most practical thing, my book, Go and Sin No More, which is a grace-based guide to holiness and empowerment for change that'll help you in a practical way in so many areas of life. Go and Sin No More. I then have a teaching series that goes with it. Our retail value with postage for both materials would be close to $40, but just $25 postage paid for the book, Go and Sin No More, which Dr. Bill Bright called one of those rare life-changing books. The book and the CD with, over 10 hours of teaching. You listen to it on your computer, your MP3 player. Call us now, 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or if you'd rather download, go to the website, AskDrBrown.org.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you have a testimony of getting set free from pornography addiction? Sexual sin addiction? You used to be living a certain way, and now you are tremendously transformed. It hasn't just been a day or a month, but this has been proven out in your life over a number of years. Oh, of course, just as pornography is pervasive in the church today, freedom from pornography is pervasive. And yes, there are millions of Christian men and even more women who would say, no, I don't struggle with pornography. Many would say, I used to. But I don't. If you have a testimony, and if you'd even want to share how God set you free, how God helped you to overcome, how God brought you into a place of liberty, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. In the second hour today, if you don't catch that by radio, just catch it later on internet at AskDrBrown.org. My second hour, I'm going to go through the six steps, practical steps, in my article, Overcoming the Porn Plague. But a few other things I want to cover in this half hour. Joey, get clip number 16 ready. When people simply say, look, I'm wired a certain way, someone would say, look, I'm wired to be attracted to the same sex. Or I'm just wired to be attracted to many people. Your average male, for sure, is wired in this fallen world to be attracted to more than one person. And there is a commitment that has to be made where you say, okay, I'm going to walk in faithfulness and purity. And you and as you do, as you honor the Lord, as you cultivate a good relationship with the Lord and with your spouse, then it's not a horrific life and death struggle to walk in purity. But if you just think, well, I'll just kind of go the way I'm wired, there's big, big trouble. So clip number 16, Joey, this is Dr. Lindsay Doe, a clinical sexologist. This is her Sexplanations YouTube channel. This link was sent to me. I'm not familiar with the YouTube channel otherwise, but this particular video on polyamory has been viewed over 43,000 times. Listen to what she has to say.
I grew up learning that finding a partner was what you strive for. One person who's one person is me. This is called monogamy. I also grew up believing you waited until marriage to have sex, and you had sex with that one person for the rest of your life. And when my hormones kicked in and I wanted to have sex with all the things, that didn't make any sense. Why my biology and physiology were telling me one thing, but society was telling me something else. I understood how you need to have a govern on human behavior. We can't just do whatever we want. But if naturally I was experiencing a desire for more than one mate, then there was probably more to sexuality than what I had learned thus far.
Ah, so just because she had desires to be with more than one person, then that must mean what she was taught about marriage and family was somehow wrong. Because after all, if I desire to have more, then that means I should be able to have more. Clip number 17, again, Dr. Lindsay Doe continuing to explain about polyamorous. Tell you what, we may not have time to get that clip in, but here's something of fundamental importance. Human beings cannot just do what the flesh and desires want to do. Of course, we can, but the consequences will be disastrous. And if we're followers of Jesus, then he's Lord, and we're here to obey him and honor him. By the way, as of today, that video that on YouTube we just played the clip from, it's not 43,000, but 56,000 views. If we just do what our flesh wants to do, it will reap destruction. No two ways around it.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Talking about overcoming pornography, check out my latest article at AskDrBrown.org with 6 practical steps to deal with it, also with some shocking and disturbing stats. Let's go to Betty in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, first-time caller, Dr. Brown.
Well, thank you.
I admire your show. I think you're fantastic. I thank God for you. You're truly an anointed man. I want you to pray for me. I'd like to say one thing, Dr. Brown. I think pornography has gotten worse in this country because of an abortion. They taught women to disrespect their bodies so much where they kill their own babies. It's like they're inanimate objects and only be used in a sexual way for the most cruelest act that's ever perpetrated on mankind. But that's disrespect for the woman, period. You lie down with her, she's nothing but an object. So why not look at other people in that same manner? Since pornography is running rampant in America, it's one of our largest exports. People, child abuses up, child molestations are up. We used to send our children to school to be taught. Now we got to be careful. If even the teacher, pornography is driving America down into the very gutters of hell. And if people don't get right and turn to their maker, we are headed for destruction. Moral character is not the economy, it's the morals of the country that's destroying the country.
Yeah, Betty, I couldn't agree with you more on so many points. And thanks for the kind words, and thanks for a great first-time call. You know, in 1960 is when the birth control pill came out, and suddenly there was a very immediate separation from sexual relationships and procreation. It just became recreation much more easily. A woman could just say, hey, I'm making the choice to just have sex. And then when you think, hey, even if something does go wrong, you know, we can always abort the baby, and then the devaluing of life with that,
Dr. Brown, if they can devalue an innocent child's life, adult life is nothing. I like to say one more thing, and if people would track this abortion thing back to most of our society woes, even the increase in crime, people have no respect for another human being's property.
Yes.
They don't have any respect at all. No respect for God, the Creator. The Creator, Almighty God, they have no respect. And for this cause, God has turned America over to a reprobate mind. And reprobates do not appreciate the word of God. We are in a very dire Israel. When you get where college students, supposed to be some of the most intelligent, turn it against a country that's being bombarded with missiles and rockets and all kind of other atrocities, our own country just experienced another beheading.
Yeah.
And you can get good out of that. Spiritual blindness, Dr. Brown. May God have mercy on us.
Hey, Betty, again, thank you so much for the call. Greatly appreciate it. And friends, when Betty said that the real issue in our country is the moral character, not the economy, the moral character, I wrote an article some months back called It's the Morality, Stupid. And what it was about was when Bill Clinton was running for president, he was reminded constantly, I think it was actually put on his desk, it's the economy, stupid. In other words, keep your focus on that. Keep talking about that. That's the big issue for Americans. If you campaign on that, you'll win. Well, economy is massively important, touches every one of our lives, every single day of our lives. However, what really is going to determine the direction of our country is the morality. You cannot separate the morality from the spirituality if it is true and deep spirituality. Let's go to Boston. Jim, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, love your show.
And, thank you, sir.
I was born again about 30 years ago. God did a real amazing work in my life, set me free immediately from alcohol and drugs, and then a few months later set me free from smoking. That one took some work. And then I amazingly got a computer 5 years ago. I know I was a little slow on the curve, But I could, that just sucked me in. I got sucked into pornography on the computer. And I could see the power of this, you know, enslavement. And I just said, if Christ shall set me free, I shall be free indeed. And mm-hmm. I could see that I wasn't going to be free. I was going to be totally enslaved to this evil subterfuge of images and masturbation. And I just said, this is not what Jesus wants for me, and this is not what I want for my life. And I just had the willpower to not look at those images.
And so how many years ago is this now?
About 2 years ago, I've been free from, 2-3 years ago, from, you know, looking at pornography.
Got it.
After two or three months of it, I said, this is just total enslavement.
Yeah.
And I said, I do not want to be enslaved to this. And I just said, Jesus does not want me to be enslaved to this. And I just had the, you know, the strength to not look at those images anymore.
Jim, I appreciate you sharing that, because many times, even when people feel I need help, as believers in Jesus, we are empowered by the Spirit. As believers in Jesus, we're empowered by grace. We're not just human beings struggling. And someone can make a determination, I'm not going to do a particular thing. You know, I imagine, Jim, that for many who say they're struggling with porn, and I know some really need serious help. They need counseling. They may need deliverance. They may need to get to deep root issues in their lives. But I also know this, that if you said to someone, okay, I'm going to give you $1 million if you can go 1 month without looking at a single pornographic image or, you know, viewing something, fantasizing over it, most people who say I can't do it would do it and get the $1 million. So there's a lot more grace in our lives. I'm not minimizing the struggle, and some say, man, I tried to do what Jim did. But the fact is, there is freedom in Jesus. There is freedom in Jesus. None of us have to be enslaved to anything. Oswald Chambers said, make it your habit to have no habits, obviously outside of the habits of godliness. Jim, thanks for the call. Again, for those saying, look, I feel like I need counseling, I need some wisdom on this, you'll find my article helpful. You'll find the book Going Sin No More with the teaching series helpful. Just go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, for more info on that. And first hour, Pure Life Ministries. I mentioned them, PureLifeMinistries.org. We had the president of the organization on with us. You'll find tremendously helpful, practical resources there. No condemnation, but rather encouragement that help is available in God for lasting change. Let's go to Edwin in Gainesville, Florida. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, sir. I just want to talk about the issue of pornography and lust, and you know how the Lord has delivered me as well. My journey was like, actually, I got saved in 2008, and it's not like I was looking for God to save me from this particular sin. I was just sinful all the way around. But the Lord just saved me without me asking him to save me of that particular sin, but saved me from pornography. But what happened after that, you know, the Lord, after the Lord saved me, I opened up the door to pornography again, and that's the worst mistake I could have ever made. And, you know, that's the worst thing a Christian can do, is open up the door to sin, because it comes at you.
Especially
stronger.
If you've been set free. You don't ever want to take your freedom for granted, because sometimes
exactly.
You can get free in a minute, and then it could take you months or years to get free again if you open the door. So you open the door, but that's not the end of the story, thankfully. What happened?
Well, so it was just an up and down thing. You know, you would try, you would fail, you would try and fail, and it gets to the point where you know that you're a slave, and you know you have no power. So you have to take the scriptures and you have to apply them to your life. So the one that I chose was Psalm 34:6, where it says, "A poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and delivered him from all his troubles." So that I'm talking about agonizing.
You really cried out
to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and also the fear of God, you know, Proverbs 16:6, through the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. Having such a fear of God and judgment, I think it's healthy, and we need that. And all that helped me to get delivered, you know. And now I take it seriously. Like if I see a woman, I have to turn away because I know I am so weak in that point that if I even give a second to that, I'm done, and anyone will be done if they give a second to it, you know.
Yeah. So the fact is, though, it's nice to feel clean. You got to be vigilant, but boy, nice to feel clean, nice to feel free, nice to not have skeletons in the closet. Praise God. I'm going to address a viral video when we come back right here on the Line of Fire.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I want to tell you before I say anything else that I love you. Now, I know that you're not going to believe that, but it is true.
No, I believe it.
So, and I have known that you were gay since you were a tiny little boy.
Mm-hmm. So you would know at this point it's not a choice.
And you have made a choice.
I have not made a choice.
Evidently from what you told your daddy.
I have not made a choice. I have not made a choice.
This is a viral video on YouTube. It has now been viewed well over 5 million times. A young man named Daniel Pierce, 20 years old, had his cell phone put down. You can't see any of the people involved, but he's talking with family members about his homosexuality, and it ends up horrifically. It's hard to say where the violent confrontation ends, or excuse me, where the violent confrontation begins, but it's absolutely horrific. A fight breaks out. The guy gets punched and his lip gets split, and he's immediately put out of the house for the decisions that he's made in terms of coming out. And the video is how not to react, you know, how not to react when your kid comes out as gay. And of course, it's being spoken of as, quote, a Christian family reacting in this way. No, it's clear as you listen, even though the word of God is mentioned, it's not a Christian family in terms of committed Christians. You can hear that by all the profanity that's being used. And even in the descriptions, when you read full articles about it, they weren't particularly religious family. They didn't go to church often. Either way, it's a horrific scene in terms of what happened. It's absolutely not the way to respond overall. I want you to hear a little bit more from it, and then I want to interact and just give some constructive thoughts. Let's go to clip number 6.
I have taken basic biology and psychology,
uh-huh.
And it's determined within the first 6 weeks of birth what your personality is going to be, and that's part of your personality, and you cannot change it, and it's a scientific proof.
Mm-hmm.
Not based off of
all the scientific stuff you want to. I'm going by the word of God.
All right, so there's the typical fundamentalist sounding. We don't care what science says. The sun goes around the earth, if that's what the Bible says, because the sun rises and the sun sets, and that's all we care about. We don't care about science. That's, of course, the impression you get. And then, finally, clip number 7. Are we there? Do we not have clip number 7? All right, I will skip over that right now. Let me give some constructive thoughts on this. Again, this makes Christians look bad. This makes believers in general look bad. This makes the gospel look bad. Whereas in point of fact, this is not a representative Christian family using profanity, not attending church, and then getting into a fist fight with the kid. However, for sure, many gay kids have come out and met with all kinds of hostility from their family and have met with absolutely terrible responses. So may everyone who loves God and loves their kid recognize that this is not the way to respond. And no matter how heart-wrenching it may be, if your kid tells you that they're gay, you say, why should it be heart-wrenching? Well, for many, it is. if they come out with an announcement, what you need to do is first and foremost say, listen, we love you. You are a son. You're a daughter. We love you as our child. No matter what, you're always going to be our kid. We're always going to love you, and we're always going to be here for you if you need help. Now, in point of fact, the father is upset. He says, look, I cared for you. I did all this for you for 20 years, and you're running off your mouth on Facebook, social media against me, calling me a racist, and then the son denies it. So who knows all of that? And again, what sparked the violence at the end, God only knows, but it's deplorable either way that these things happen. You can tell your kids, look, we follow the scriptures and we believe God's ways are best, and we don't approve of homosexual behavior, and we won't approve of a homosexual relationship you're in, but you're our son, you're our daughter, we love you, we care for you, and whatever we can do to be involved in your life, we want to be involved in your life, and we're committed to you either way, through ups, through downs, through hard times, through choices you make that we don't agree with. Now, what's the choice? The choice is to declare a gay identity and to then practice homosexuality. That's the choice, even if it's ingrained to the core of your being as far back as you know. What's completely bogus, though, what's completely bogus, just to be candid, is the idea that within 6 weeks, that somehow biology and science and psychology tell you that within 6 weeks, your personality is basically fully formed, including whether you're gay, straight, or bi, or whatever. There is no science that says that. Let me repeat it. There is no science that says a child's sexuality is absolutely fixed within the first 6 weeks. Now, I remember James Dobson once on TV was asked about homosexuality. Is it genetic or is it a choice? He said, no, it's not genetic and it's not a choice. In other words, you're not born this way, nor do you just choose to be this way. It's somewhere early on that these developments can take place, but they can take place in someone's life when they're 6 or 7 or 8 or 10. And these developments then lead to homosexuality. And for others, it's more deep-rooted than that. Either way, the idea that it's science versus the Word of God, there's no conflict. The Word of God speaks of us as a fallen race. The Word of God tells us Jesus died for all the same, and that there's salvation and new life in Jesus for all. The young man is 20 years old. If the family says, we want you to move out, if he was practicing homosexuality, and they said, it's no different than us. If you're sleeping with your girlfriend, you can't stay in the house. Or if you're out getting drunk, you can't stay in the house. If you're practicing homosexuality, you can't stay in the house. That's one thing. If he simply declared that he's gay and he's not saying, hey, I'm not bringing partners back here or going to the gay bars or something like that, I just want you to know I've come to grips with my sexual orientation. Well, to say you're out of the house and then he takes that as being disowned forever, you can see how this conflict escalates. But let's realize that this one little bit of bad news has now been shared millions and millions and millions and millions of times online. This young man has had such a flood of support, over $93,000 given to him already to help him in his living expenses. It's a traumatic and terrible situation. Certainly shows us what many kids do go through, maybe not that level of violence, but they go through all kinds of traumatic things that should sensitize us and help us to better deal with those who declare their homosexuality. And may Daniel and his whole family really come to know and experience the love and truth of God. All right, friends, let me be as practical as possible. We just had a computer crash there, so sorry we didn't get that one clip played. My book, Go and Sin No More, will really help you in dealing with issues of sexual purity and understanding your life. You can get it together with a full teaching series I did on it. Normally with postage, about $40, but today, $25 postage paid for the book and the CD together. Just call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. The CD you can listen to on your computer or MP3 player. My bottom line today, we are overcomers in Jesus, and we are called to sexual purity, determined not to make any excuses, but to find help and wholeness in the Lord. Well, let's be honest. Pornography is a plague, and it's a plague in the church. How do you overcome it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're going to talk about pornography today, and we are going to give you keys to sexual purity, keys to victory, keys to overcoming this plague. If you're struggling, if you have a friend that's struggling, encourage them to listen. And if you didn't hear the horrific news from the Middle East just a little over an hour ago, word came out that the so-called Islamic State had beheaded another American journalist, Stephen Soloff, and put out a video of this and with the message, "I'm back, Obama." So the mocking, the scorning, it's such sickening news. And we know what has happened to this American, what a tragedy for him and for his family. What has happened to this American has happened to many, many, many others at the hands of these radical Muslims, these extremists and terrorists. We see how ugly and hateful this is, and what's our response? Do you sit and say, well, let's have a chat. We'll just have a chat. Well, let's be reasonable. And if we're reasonable, then everybody will just agree and let's be friends. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. They must be stopped. Sadly, that is the reality. They're also human beings for whom Jesus died, but they are perpetrators of evil. They're massacring Christians and other innocent men, women, and children, and others like this American journalist. This is murder. This is cold-blooded murder, period. That's all it is. So how do you deal with it? You don't deal with it in a friendly, ha-ha-ha way, because you realize that this is an evil that must be addressed and destroyed. Now, may I say in the same way that sin in our lives must be viewed as an evil that must be destroyed? That if we are addicted to sexual sin, if we are slaves to pornography, if we are playing games with fornication or adultery or other sexual impurity, this must be radically dealt with. We can't just have some kind of appeasement plan where, well, the addiction's not so bad. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus and you're serious about belonging to him, then we are called to purity and holiness. I don't say that to condemn. I say that to help. I remember many years ago as a new believer being in a church service, and the pastor asked at the end of the service, is the Lord putting his finger on anything in your life? And I thought, yeah, he is. And then he asked another question. We were just had our heads bowed. It's the end of the service. Then he asked a follow-up question to the people there. I don't know, maybe there were 50 people in the building that night. He asked a follow-up question. First question was, is the Lord putting his finger on anything in your life? Second question, have you responded to the Lord and said yes? I thought, no, I haven't. And then his third question, why not? I thought, okay, there is no excuse. But you say, you don't understand, I'm trapped. I've said no 1,000 times. I start every day saying I'm not going to fall into the same trap again, and I do. Well, we've got practical help. I'm going to give you 6 practical guidelines. We'll tell you about resources you can get, websites you can go to, so that you do not have to live in slavery. And if you say, yeah, but what is this affecting, like 5% of the Christians or 10%? No. Actually, according to a recent poll, only 3% of Christian men say they never view porn, and only 25% say they view it less than a few times a year. If you've got a testimony, if the Lord has delivered you or set you free from porn, if you used to be a slave to sexual sin and now you're free, give us a call. Tell us how God has brought freedom in your life.
God of light, hear our cry, send God by.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Talking about pornography, talking about sexual sin, talking about being overcomers. Look, I grew up in the 60s, turned 16 in 1971, so I was part of the counterculture revolution, the whole time of rebellion, the whole time of that was marked by sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It was certainly a promiscuous time. It was certainly a time of people casting off restraint, and suddenly, you know, things happening in high schools that weren't happening before, not happening on that level. But we didn't have anything like 12 or 13 year olds sexting, texting naked pictures of themselves to one another. First, there were no cell phones. Second, the idea of a kid that young taking a naked picture, or who's even thinking of taking pictures of yourself, naked pictures then? I mean, it's just things have shifted in a terribly dangerous and destructive way. I was not into pornography before I was saved. I was not living a godly life, of course, but I was not into pornography before I was saved, or strip clubs or things like that. You had to be 18 to get in, so that just was not part of my life. There was enough sin and junk and flesh to deal with, obviously. But I imagine that stuff that is just a click away today didn't even exist back then, or if it existed, it would have been incredibly hard to find. And now these things are just pervasive everywhere. You could be at your computer and you're researching something, and next thing, some unclean image pops up. I don't mean absolutely pornographic, but you know, some seductive picture pops up, or find out more here, whatever. Or your junk mail, you know, somehow you get announcements about this, you know, someone's webcam or whatever. You think, where in the world is this stuff coming from? It's just out there. You know, we'll sometimes do research on YouTube looking for clips that we're using, or following up on something, and there'll just be some unclean image there, you know, that's just, you know, and here other related videos. Think, where in the world is this coming from? It's everywhere. It's so available. We must be vigilant. And to read some stats I read in the first hour, I want to read them again. According to a poll that was done by Joel Hesch, founder of Proven Men Ministries, and he sponsored the Barna Group to do a survey on pornography. In fact, let me read what Joel Hesch said first. What we're seeing can almost be described as epidemic. Viewing pornography can quickly turn into a very real addiction, just like drug or alcohol use. What starts off as a seemingly innocent or fun act can quickly spiral out of control. And if you're a follower of Jesus, pornography is never innocent. And you call it fun, it's not fun in God's sight. So check out these stats. Number one, in the survey that was done, those men who identified as Christian viewed porn more frequently than those who did not identify as Christian. Was it because Christians were more honest, or was it because they're trying to live in greater purity and not sleeping around and fooling around and doing other things as much, and therefore struggling with porn? Or either way, it's terrible to see that. According to the poll, 7% of the men interviewed viewed porn several times a day, 12% at least once daily. So this is 19%, almost one in five Christian men in America saying that they view porn at least once a day, if not several times a day. And I imagine this is underreported. In other words, even when someone's doing a survey and you're answering, I imagine if you're answering, you're going to try to put the best construction on things, even though you're told it's totally anonymous. You're probably going to put the best construction on it rather than say how bad things really are. Or your mind's going to say, maybe like once in 6 months, whereas once a month. That's just my educated guess in terms of how people might respond. 18% said that they watch porn several times a week. This is Christian men, men who identify as Christian, 15% several times a month, and 12% at least once a month. So let's add that up, all right? For at least once a month, including as many as several times a day, let's add it. 7 plus 12 is 19, plus 18 is 37, plus 15 is 52, plus 12 is 64. I think I got that right. 64% of Christian men, according to this survey, say they view porn at least once a month. The numbers were lower for women, but women are not exempt from this as well. So again, I don't say these things to condemn. You say, man, I know I'm struggling already. I need some hope. All right, let's deal with these things. All right, let's be honest. And again, if you have a testimony, if God's helped you overcome, find freedom, share that with our listeners for two reasons. One, it's encouraging to hear, hey, here's someone that was where I was and they're free today. Because the devil's always going to tell you you'll never change. Or he'll tell you you can change whenever you want and lie to you like that while you stay in bondage. It's also helpful to hear how some people were set free, because that may be just what you need. Porn is absolutely pervasive, from its milder forms appearing in ads all over the internet and TV to its most hardcore and perverse forms. So we can't play games with this. We must declare war. Let me speak to you plainly. If this is an issue in your life, you can't justify, well, you know, my wife doesn't sleep with me anymore. Well, my husband doesn't pay attention to me. You can't justify it. You can't excuse it. Well, I'm not committing adultery with my neighbor. And it's not as bad as if I went out and raped someone. Don't justify it. Don't excuse it. Don't minimize it. Well, come on. I mean, who is it hurting? If you actually would even dare say those words. Don't minimize it. Rather, recognize it for the destructive, degrading sin that it is. So let me give you six keys to freedom. If you only have time to get two or three of them, they're all in my article. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article, and it is yours to read absolutely free, as are all our articles. All right, number one, you ready to jot this down? This could happen to anybody. Anybody could fall prey to sexual sin. I mean, unless either age or disease have robbed you of your sexual capacity, you could fall prey to this. If you're a human being, a healthy human being, you could fall prey to this. And that's where we have to start. Whether it's pornography, whether it's adultery, whether it's fornication. If we somehow feel we are exempt, we could become lax or self-righteous, opening the door to the devil. Now, I'm sure some are more prone to sexual sin than others. Some are more wired to sexual sin than others, and men, generally speaking, more than women. But, to repeat, unless age or disease have robbed you of your sexual capacity, you can't claim exemption from temptation. Hence the warning in 1 Corinthians 10:12, let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he falls. And it looks at the history of Israel. People of Israel had many fine people among them, and yet many fine people walked away from what kept them strong and ended up destroying their lives. Do you think, honestly, when you hear about another pastor, minister, leader, when you hear about this person and they have destroyed their lives through sexual sin, do you think they were always hypocrites? Do you think they were always corrupt? Do you think they were always playing games? Maybe with some it's true. But with people I know, it wasn't the case. It was more a matter of they opened the door at a certain point in life, or they didn't live by the principles that they knew were right principles. Or they became professional ministers and left off of their intimate love relationship with the Lord. Or there's so many other things that could happen. But this much is clear. If there are no other cars on the road, all right? Or let's just say the cars on the road are all going to stay in their lane. if you stay in your lane and just concentrate driving in the middle of the lane, there won't be an accident. There won't be an accident. But if you say, well, I mean, I'm a good driver. I'm an experienced driver. I can text as I drive, and I can be writing notes and multitasking as I drive and checking emails. You might just get into an accident. And that's what keeps you safe, realizing it could happen to any of us. Back with your calls and more practical thoughts on how to overcome sexual sin, pornography. If you have been set free, if you're walking in freedom and purity today, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Let us know how.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire as we talk about sexual freedom, freedom from sexual sin, sexual purity, overcoming pornography. 866-34-TRUTH. If you have a testimony to share with us along these lines, give us a call. Go into the phones in one moment, but my first principle is if we want to be free, we've got to acknowledge this could happen to any of us. Unless, again, disease or age have robbed us of sexual capacity, any of us could fall into sexual sin. None of us are exempt from temptation. The second principle, if you're guilty of sexual sin, don't cut it back, cut it off. Don't cut it back, cut it off. Well, I went from porno movies now to very sexually vivid R-rated movies. No. Well, I've cut it back from daily to once or twice a week. No. Cut it off. Don't cut it back. That's the language Jesus uses. Figurative speech. Cut off the offending hand or foot. Gouge out the offending eye. You can't play games with it. You can't just make some kind of truce with it. Same if you're in an adulterous relationship. Well, you know, we're not sleeping together anymore. We're just really close. No. You must cut things off. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Robert in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I have, I have a long history. First of all, as a child, I love the Lord. I mean, I just grew up in that kind of home and accepted Christ at 10 years old, although I don't know that I knew much about what I was doing. But I also saw pornography at an early age like that, too, and didn't do much with it. But until years later, it keeps kind of popping up. But then, you know, it led me in the late 70s to make the decision to go down the wrong path, you know, even though I knew that it was wrong in God's eyes to have some type of physical relationship outside of marriage. And I did it. And then one thing leads to another, and pretty soon, 20, 30 years go by, and you realize that you're maybe not every day. I was never one of these people like that, and that was just, but it was something I could not lick. I just couldn't get it. It entered into my marriage, everything. And so what finally happened, I had, through prayer and just coming to the Lord with it, I never tried to just let go. I was always struggling because I deeply love the Lord, but I was one of the people that were walking, you know, one foot in the world and one foot in the church. And so what finally happened is I had a physical breakdown. I had a medical problem, and it was pretty incapacitating. I mean, it was just, it stopped me in my tracks. I heard Tony Evans preach a sermon that kind of made me wake up. And then everybody I would hear after that, Erwin Lutzer, I remember, was a big one, where I just heard him talking about sin. And all of a sudden, I had taken sin lightly. I'd accepted Christ so early in my life that I was just kind of walking through life. Yeah, well, God's going to cover that with his
with his blood, and I know it's not right, but I can't seem to control it, so I'm okay. But then all of a sudden, I just started, I recommitted my life to Christ, and I saw my sin for what it was, and I started thinking about holiness and all that, and just I was so grieved. Even now, I can't go through a day without thanking the Lord in tears for my salvation. But the thing that got me with, I was totally, he has totally taken that away from me, that desire to look at that, because I love Jesus so much that I can't stand the thought of ever keeping any kind of sin back on him again. And I know that's just nothing. It's like choosing, well, yeah, I think I'll choose evil today so I can satisfy some need. All of a sudden, that stuff just started becoming just filthy evil to me, and I did not look at it the same way at all. And I'm in a men's group that where I see men, and I see some that are trying to get out of that, but I see others that just they don't seem to hurt over it as much. I mean, it's like, well, I made a mistake, and you know, but you know, I'm doing things right. But and to me, it's like I just love the Father. I love Jesus. He just, what have you done for me on that cross? I never saw the cross like I saw it after.
Wow. Robert, how long has it been since you've been walking in this freedom?
This has been since about November of last year. And I still use, I put on the armor of God every day, piece by piece. And I will use scriptures like Romans 13:14 and,
Right. So you're vigilant, but you recognize that God's had extraordinary mercy on you. And really, this is something so priceless that when you are walking in that deep love relationship with the Lord, when you realize how good he is, how ugly our sin is and was, the price that was paid, how deeply he loves us, and how we now come to love him. We love because he first loved us. And now you're walking in that freedom, almost going on almost a year. So every day, obviously, you're appreciative, you're thankful. God's mercy is amazing. God's grace is amazing. His long-suffering is amazing. If we reject it, we have only ourselves to blame. But thank God for his work in your life. And thank you for opening your heart and sharing with us. Robert, God will keep you strong. And you keep doing your part. You stay vigilant, and you'll enjoy freedom every day of your life. Thank you, sir, for the call. All right, we'll be taking some more calls, 866-348-7884. Let me again say the first principle for freedom. You've got to acknowledge this could happen to anybody. All right? If you're saying, hey, this never touched me, no, it could. It could, if we open the door, if we play games, if we're not vigilant. Second, if you're guilty of sexual sin, don't cut it back. Cut it off. You must recognize that pornography is your enemy. It will only hurt you and never help you, only bring you down and never lift you up. It's degrading and defiling, and you can no more afford to tolerate its presence in your life than you can afford to tolerate the presence of cancer in your body. For heterosexual men, remember that woman you're watching as someone's daughter? How'd you feel if that were your own daughter? Porn is not an option for you as a believer. The most practical book I have on this, it will go through so many areas of your life. It'll go through so much scripture filled with inspiring quotes and practical steps to take, including how little foxes can spoil the vines. We open the door and next thing we're bound and enslaved. My book, Go and Sin No More, I'm so blessed when Dr. Bill Bright called it one of those rare life-changing books. The book, together with a full teaching series that goes along with the book on a CD that you can listen to on your computer or MP3 player, normally about $40 postage paid. Today, $25 postage paid. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or if you'd like to download the teaching series, it's an even better discount. Go to AskDrBrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you as we are talking about the plague of pornography, pervasive in the church as we've known, but perhaps even more pervasive. A recent survey that was done indicated that only 3% of Christian men say they never view porn, and only 25% say they view it less than a few times a year. God help us. Before going back to the phones, if you have a testimony, if you've been transformed, if you've been set free, if you once struggled, but now you've been walking in freedom for some period of time, not a day or two, but for some period of time, we'd love to hear from you to encourage others with your testimony and with whatever steps were taken in your own life. But before going back to the phones, there are times when I have fasted and given myself an option, of, well, I may break the fast this day, or I'm not sure. I almost always would break it, especially at times in my life when I fasted on a more regular, extended basis than I have in recent years, something I've wanted to recover. And obviously, if I was determined to recover, I would. That's part of the point. But when I leave myself the option of, well, maybe I'll break the fast today, I almost always break it. If I had no option in my mind, I was set, this is what I'm supposed to do, then it would be very rare that I would break it. If in your mind it's like, well, I want to be free from this, but I mean, it's, no. If you look at it like that, chances are you're not going to get free. Chances are this thing being so pervasive, so powerful, so addictive, so stimulating to the flesh, that unless you declare war on it, it's unlikely that you will find freedom. So you just have to realize it's not an option in my life. If I'm a follower of Jesus, porn is not an option. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to John in Dallas, Texas. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. Thanks for taking my call, man. Great topic today. And boy, I tell you what, porn, I can't even. I bet those numbers are low that you're saying. I bet they're higher than that. But I got to tell you, man, I was set free about 3 years ago, and it was something that I struggled with my entire life. It started somewhere in my teenage years, and like your last caller, I accepted Christ early on, but, you know, didn't really know what it meant. But, man, I always knew that porn was wrong, and I never wanted to do it. I always wanted out. Well, I don't know when that happened. But, you know, I got married in my late 20s, and I thought, oh, thank goodness, man, when I get married, we're done with this. Well, that lasted about 6 months, and then it was part of my marriage. And, man, I prayed, and my prayer sometimes, I got to be honest, it was me screaming at God, take this away. And, you know, it just never went away. I read books, scripture, and for the life of me, and it was just with me until 3 years ago. And I'll tell you what happened. I was sitting in a counseling session with my wife. Counselor asked me about masturbation, because that goes hand in hand with porn. People don't like talking about that, but it is. Mm-hmm. And this was God, I suppose, but before I had time to think about it, I answered honestly. And it was exposed. I mean, and boy, you talk about hurt, my family, my wife. I can't even describe the hurt. But I tell you, from that point on, the Lord freed me from this. You know, when I would go home, if I had access to the computer, man, it was a beeline to the computer. It was ridiculous.
All right, hey, stay right there, John. So that accountability, the truth coming to light, was what brought the beginning of freedom. Just want to talk to you, John, for a moment later. Anastasia, stay right there. I want to hear from you.
Fire we want, for fire we please.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We're talking about sexual purity, overcoming pornography. 866-34-TRUTH if you have a testimony in that area to share. And before we're done, I'll give you the six principles from my article on overcoming the porn plague. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. All right, John, you had basically a lifelong pornography problem. Married after 6 months, it arose again in your life to the point it's an addiction, straight to the computer, porn, and all of this when you have the opportunity. Then in a counseling session with your wife, you're asked specifically about masturbation, which you answer honestly because that tied in with the whole porn issue in your life, obviously. Tremendous hurt and pain for your wife. You broke up. I thought I lost you for a second, but you actually just broke up trying to tell us because of the pain inflicted on your wife. But you said from that moment on, you experienced freedom. Do you mean that the thing just broke off of you? Or was it also that you realized what you were doing and made a conscious choice that I just have to stop?
No, he said, I always knew what I was doing was wrong. There was no question. But no, he, Jesus set me free. I mean, just like that. Wow. And, you know, it's really hard sometimes talking to other guys because I can't tell you all these different steps, you know, do this, do right. this, do this. And it'll happen. It didn't happen that way for me. God, for whatever reason, in God's mercy, he said, okay, I guess it's a little bit of a frustration with me because I...
No, but I can help, I can help you with this, though.
I had nothing to do with it.
I can help you with this.
Nothing to do with it, Michael. Nothing. Yeah, it wasn't
listen,
me.
Thank God for his grace. He gets the glory. Amen. He gets the honor. There have been changes in my life in the past where I've said, God, I'm weak and I need your help. And, you know, manifest the power of the resurrection in my life. You know, demonstrate that this is not just like every other religion where you have to try harder.
Right.
But I just want to present something to you. And how long ago was this, John?
3 years.
3 years.
About
okay.
3 years ago.
Two things. One, you did cry out. Now, obviously, you didn't get answered right then and there. And sometimes, you know, we're crying out to God, when are you going to do something about it? And he's saying to us, when are you going to do something? You did cry out. So that is one thing. And you said that you often cried out. You never want to downgrade that. But the other thing, here's the one thing you did. You came clean. That's the one thing you clearly did in this. Because if you lied, the thing could have been hidden. And that's one thing you can tell friends. Coming clean in the presence of your wife was the key. Now, thankfully, you had a counselor there. And in the first hour, I talked with a leader of Pure Life Ministries, the president of the organization. And he was talking about, as a rule of thumb, if someone's going to confess some sexual addiction to the spouse, that it's often good to get the pastor involved, you know, to be there, to help, to give wisdom in it. In certain cases, it's not necessary. But when the person takes that step, they really are saying, okay, I've got to deal with this because you can't hide it any longer. But beyond that, amen, thank God for his grace, for his power, for his work in your life, man. And that is so awesome to hear. I rejoice with you. But hey, that's the power of God. If God did it for John, he can do it for you, right? 866-34-TRUTH. Anastasia in Euless, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Yes, I am a first-time caller, but I've been listening to you for quite some time. God bless you. I hope you're doing well, dear one. And be
well, thank
blessed.
You.
I pray that your comings and goings will be blessed by the Lord your God.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I am a modern-day Rahab, redeemed, and sanctified. For those that do not understand what that is, she was a prostitute in the Old Testament. And it is my belief that if people in the church were to open up more people would receive the help that they need. But we're so busy doing that church walk, you know, get the church walk going, look all perfect, but we're not. We're sinners. We're sinners that need the Lord Jesus Christ to shed his blood upon us and our sin.
Now, what happened in your own life, Anastasia?
Pardon me?
What happened in your own life?
My addiction, my sexual addiction?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I did not know. I was molested. Mm. I didn't know for many, many years. My mother was a very good mother. She walked in on this. Mm. But she kept it pretty much quiet.
Yeah.
She got me out of the situation quickly. In fact, we had moved to New York, and my uncle, I will not mention his name, he's still alive. He was a young person. He was 14. I was 5. And she walked in on this. She was after her job. We had moved there. And we lived with my grandparents and my uncle. I was left in his care.
Right. So she did what she knew how to do, which is commendable, yeah. But she didn't realize that you might be deeply scarred by this and need to really get some ministry in your life or counseling.
No, she didn't. Back then, things were hushed up.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm
no,
grateful.
Understood. I fully understand. That would have been the culture, sure. So what did this lead to then in your life as you got older?
Oh, my gosh. A whirlwind of addiction, sexual addiction. And I was a Christian, okay? I was a Christian. I was brought up in the church, and I used to cry and scream out, what is wrong with me? I didn't realize any of this had happened to me. Okay, at all, because my mother acted so quickly. We were only there in that house for 3 months.
Yeah.
So I didn't realize I was so young. I had just, I went somewhere else when this happened. I separated. For years, I played this scene out and did not with children, thank God. But I was sexually addicted at some point. I mean, it was so bad that if I did not go to my sin as it was, okay, I would literally have the shakes, DTs, like someone detoxing off alcohol.
Unreal. Unreal.
I mean, it's crazy. I just had to be touched, and I didn't know why.
And how long ago, Anastasia, how long ago did you get set free?
Oh, 1993.
And how did it happen? I'm sure it's a long story, but if you could give us the short version.
How did it happen? Short version. I remarried again. I'm also a redeemed modern-day Samaritan woman at the well that Jesus set free. I relate to her.
Mm-hmm.
I had remarried once. I had gotten remarried, gotten a divorce, and decided this was it. I had to stop this. There was something wrong with me. I mean, they were abusive and all physically, but I was sabotaging myself somehow, and I didn't understand why. And I decided at that point, because I wrote letters to God. I was so messed up, I couldn't even pray right. Everything would just go in circles in my brain.
Right.
So I would write to him. I wrote him faithfully all the time, like one does. He's my papa, okay?
And he intervened,
and it came out. It came out through these letters to God,
yeah.
And he intervened, the Holy Spirit. And I knew I had to stop this. I had to stop marrying. I had to... And it was really hard. I had to become celibate. And for 2 years, it was really hard. This was when the shakes and everything else would happen.
All right, so it wasn't, in your case, these years of sexual addiction and involvement with other men, it didn't just disappear, go away. You had to keep praying and keep crying out and had a 2-year battle before freedom came, but based on your tone of voice, when freedom came, it was real and wonderful. Hey, Anastasia, I know there's so much to the story, and even just what I'm reading on the screen here, not just the infidelity and all that, but prostitution. Thank God for his mercy in your life. And what you are telling others who are listening, And again, sorry I had to cut the story short, but just because of time, we had to. But it doesn't matter how far you've gone. Listen, Anastasia, it doesn't matter if the roots are deep in your life, molestation as a child. It doesn't matter if you've done things that are so shameful and unspeakable that, that if anyone knew about it, you take your own life. That's how mortifying it is. No, Jesus died for those sins too. Jesus paid for them, every single one of them. And through him, there is freedom. 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 We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let me just run through these six practical tips in terms of overcoming pornography, and then we'll try to get a couple more calls in. Number one, acknowledge that this could happen to any of us unless disease or age have robbed you of sexual capacity or sexual desire. Sexual sin can happen to anyone. We're not exempt from temptation. Number two, if you're guilty of sexual sin, don't cut it back, cut it off. Don't just say, well, I won't go as far. No. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Get rid of it. That's it. If you have a rattlesnake in your home, you don't say, well, as long as it's in the living room, not in the bedroom. No. You kill the thing. You get rid of it. All right. Number three, find accountability and support. Find accountability and support. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So we flee from what's wrong. We pursue what's right and wholesome, but we don't do it alone. We do it together with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. We have a link in my article, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article. We have a link there for some accountability software. There are numbers of different options, but Christian accountability software, where others, you work with a friend, and if you go to a wrong site, that friend will know it. And you think, okay, I'm not going to do this in private then, and it helps not to do it. Fourth, come clean. As difficult as it may be, if you're really struggling with porn, you need to get help. So if God hasn't delivered you yet, for some, maybe, this applies to you. Maybe you haven't been totally willing to be delivered. And how do you know it? Well, you've chosen not to confess. Well, you see, if you determine, I am going to walk in freedom in Jesus' name, whatever it takes, then you will come clean. In most cases, your spouse will need to know at some point. That could be the very thing that helps bring you freedom. But at the least, come clean to a solid spiritual leader who's close to you so that you will not be alone in your struggles. And then it could be involving your spouse with that spiritual leader. You may need serious counseling. You may need deliverance. You don't want to minimize the power of pornography in your life. Number five, fill yourself with that which is wholesome and good. Philippians 4:8 speaks about what we should think about. So when you eat a giant healthy salad, it reduces your appetite for more food since you're already full. In the same way, fill your heart and mind with scripture, with worship, with godly thoughts and images, and by renewing your mind, you will not be conformed to the pattern of the world. And sixth, cast yourself on the mercy and grace of God. Remember that the devil's a liar. Jesus really does forgive, and when he forgives, he cleanses. Remind him that in yourself you're weak and needy, but in him you're an overcomer, 1 John 5:4. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. His grace is truly sufficient for us, 2 Corinthians 12:9. He's more than able to finish what he started. Philippians 1:6. Hebrews 12:2 says that he's the founder and perfecter of our faith. You can appeal to him to manifest his power in you. His grace not only forgives, it empowers as well. Titus 2, Romans 6. There really is victory, freedom, and wholeness in Jesus. And through him, we can shine like lights in this world. Again, to read the entire article, just go to askdrbrown.org and click on latest article. You'll find links, some ministries, a ministry we recommend as well, and accountability software in the article. 866-34-TRUTH. Belinda in Fort Worth, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, hello. Michael, I have a story how pornography has affected my life that I wanted to share with everyone that's listening.
Please do.
Okay. It's kind of another aspect of it. You know, we talk about what porn does to the men, and what I would like to talk about is what it does to the wives. My husband isn't an addict, and he wasn't an addict, but one thing that I found out, and this happened 4 years ago, I've been married almost 40 years, is that men are sending pornography to other men, so they're not just doing it in the dark. My husband had two bosses that were actually sending it to him, and he, at some point, was sending it to other men. At that time, we were not in church, and we didn't have a close relationship with Christ. That he, my husband, knew how I felt about pornography. I made it clear from the beginning of our marriage. I had been molested as a child, and so sexual integrity was extremely important to me. And then I found out, because my husband was in sales and he traveled at the beginning of our marriage, he ended up in strip clubs, which it's been a struggle for me because I've tried to believe him, and it's been hard because he said that it happened when he went to dinner with people that he didn't know very well, and that's where they wanted to go. He didn't want to be there. I mean, he's a very good man, and he's always been a very good man. But this is how the devil is so subtle, and how men can get trapped. I've been doing a lot of research for 4 years, and the things I have found out about pornography and how damaging it is. I mean, I know firsthand. I've been to 5 counselors. I'm still having issues, and it's 4 years later. It's extremely hurtful. And even though my husband wasn't an addict or doing it on purpose, just him seeing the nude women in the porn emails, it was just like that he was doing it on purpose. It's very damaging. And, you know, it happens a lot in business, and it's very, very sad that this kind of thing goes on in the name of doing business, or to think that men are sharing it with each other. And I know that a lot of focus is on the man and the addiction and getting him help, but I think what is lost in all of it is the women and the hurt that we go through, and that there's nothing. I think that with the internet pornography, it's such a new thing that people don't know how to treat us. And I've heard a lot of that women are having signs of post-traumatic stress disorder because of finding out that their husbands are involved in it. Mm. It's just very damaging.
And Belinda, the last caller, was talking about his addiction, and his was a heavy addiction for years. And the thing that set him free was sitting in a counseling session with his wife. And when he was asked point blank about certain things, he answered honestly. And he started to break down on the phone, talking about the hurt that it caused his wife. But hearing directly from you, Belinda, is so important. Let me speak to every man out there that's married. Think of the pain that you bring on your wife. Think of the degrading of the beauty of marriage that takes place. Think of the trauma you put her through. For what? And think of how you would feel if she was doing that towards other men. Belinda, may the Lord strengthen you and really give you grace to find complete wholeness and freedom and forgiveness. And may God's blessing be on you and your husband. Whatever changes need to take place in his own life that give you 100% assurance, may it be done so that there's strength and grace. But thank you for sharing something so difficult. I appreciate it. Friends, the most practical resource I can get in your hands, my book, Go and Sin No More, together with an entire teaching series. You can download this teaching series and get the book at a great price by going to AskDrBrown.org. AskDrBrown.org, and you'll see it right on the homepage. Go and Sin No More, the book and the teaching series. You will be blessed. My bottom line today, Jesus said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. In other words, deal with sin and the cause of sin ruthlessly and radically.